News and economics. So we'll cover some of this from time to time. I'm not going to number them because I'll give it from time to time, but each one of the CDs has a number on it, so if something happens and you want to get it, you can write in for the number of the CD. Now, we've been expanding Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, and we ended up by adding 72 pages. So all of you will receive, we'll mail it out from Unit Packaging in Michigan, because we're going to have them printed by Thompson Shore in Michigan. And Unit Packaging is only a little over a mile from Thompson Shore. So you'll be getting it in the mail. But here's what we have here. On the back side, we've added two more paragraphs to it on the outside of the cover. But I think if you look at the cover, and after all the publicity that has been given with those crystal skulls, and remember they said, oh, I wonder how they had the technology way back there, and aren't these civilizations so advanced? Well, no, they're very advanced in evil, and they're finding out more and more that the Mayans were really terrible demon worshippers, Satan worshippers, and if you look at the big wheel that they have depicting their god Quetzalcoatl, you have a picture of Nimrod, because it's a face of a black with his tongue sticking out. You ever seen that? But as I wrote in a book here concerning human sacrifice, the Mayans and Aztecs were perhaps the most bloody and evil in offering human sacrifices. And they even find today, when they go down beneath their pyramids, because one of the things in worshiping Satan and the spirits or demons is that you go down into the earth as far as you can. That's why they have these caves and everything that go way down into the earth, so they can get close to the demons. That even a lot of those who explore those have demon problems after working in that area. So the truth is, the Mayans and the Aztecs, they now know, were just terrible, bloody, bloody societies, and also a good number of them were cannibals. So the scientists go down there and say, ooh, what an advanced civilization this was. And now they're finding out they were ruthless, they were bloody, they were just awful people. And so that's where a lot of these pagan days come from, straight out of Satanism. So anyway, what we have done here, we have added to this second edition. And the reason that we did it was because people who received the first edition, they would read it, they would take it, say to their Protestant minister and give it to them and say, oh, look at this, we ought to keep the holy days. And then they would turn to some of the difficult scriptures of Paul and say, well, see, Paul says we don't have to do it. So, new to this second edition is the appendix, Understanding Paul's Difficult Scriptures Concerning the Law and Commandments of God. The Protestant teaching that God's commandments have been rendered obsolete by Jesus' sacrifice is based primarily on the misunderstanding of certain passages written by the Apostle Paul. This new appendix explains these difficult-to-understand passages and proves unequivocally that the laws and commandments of God are fully in force today. Covered are such topics as the curse of the law, works versus grace, justification by faith, and more. The wonderful purpose of God's law is fully explained, and how both works and faith are required for salvation. Then we have a new chapter. The world of entertainment, vehicle of the occult, examines the pivotal role of media in the current worldwide explosion of interest in the occult. From the phenomenal influence of Harry Potter movie series, with its seductive concepts of so-called white magic, to the tragic effects of video game violence, this new chapter demonstrates how Satan the devil has left no stone unturned in his efforts to lure an unsuspecting mankind to the brink of utter self-destruction. So that's what we have on the back that is in addition to it. Okay. Now, someone sent this to me. I don't know if you heard about it. The oldest known surviving copy of the New Testament gets the modern touch Thursday when parts of it go online for the first time. And that is showing the Sinaiticus, Codex Sinaiticus, that was supposed to be the 4th century. But it has in it parts of the Old Testament, not all of the New Testament, and it has the Book of Hermes in it, and one other Gnostic book. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had on a piece of paper, printed in Hebrew, brand new paper, printed in Hebrew, and you examined the age of the paper, you would say, well, this is less than a year old. But what you have is a copy. The question is it the same as you go back to the oldest copy that they have of the Old Testament? And when you go back and examine some of the things that they found concerning the scriptures in the Dead Sea Scroll areas, they found that every book they have found is identical to the Hebrew today. Now, if you take the one that they have in Leningrad, the Codex Leningradus, as they pronounce it, and you take a carbon 14 dating of that paper, you will find that it goes back to about 900 AD. But if you compare that with the book of Isaiah that was found in the Dead Sea Scroll community, it's identical. So, what is the real truth concerning the so-called ancient copies? And I emphasize the word copies. And they know that it doesn't agree with the Byzantine text at all in many, many places. They also know that it's put together in kind of a hodgepodge arrangements in some cases. It's not the age of the paper that counts. It is the authenticity of the original text that counts. So if you have a copy of the original from the Byzantine that is, say, in the 900 ADs, that is more accurate than this one that has been found at Mount Sinai, which they date to 400 AD. But what people assume is that the oldest one is the best and most accurate. Not necessarily so. Because what did Jesus say concerning his words? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So therefore, the authorized text that we have from the Hebrew and from the Greek, canonized by Ezra for the Old Testament and John and Andrew and Philip for the New Testament, those are the proper documents for us to look to the original language. But everyone just goes, I don't know how to put it, kind of blither when they see some of these things. So always remember that. It's not what they consider the oldest that is the best. It is what is the best copy of the original. And so we have a lot of that material in the New Testament commentary. So if you haven't gone over that, be sure and go over that. Now, we're going to cover a lot of different things, so I don't know exactly how we're going to cover this in order. Okay. Let's see what we have here. I get things sent to me all the time. So I've got a whole stack of stuff here, so we'll cover them at random. Now here's one, chipping of humans, no longer the stuff of novels. Use of RFIDs becoming commonplace in America. RFIDs are radio frequency identification devices. And they even have them now that they can, you know, when you buy fruit and there's that little pasted on piece of label on there, They can even make an RFID by printing it right on the paper. Radio identification frequency devices are finding their ways into and onto humans in many ways. Now, remember when I gave the sermon, it must have been, what, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Mark of the Beast is here. Remember the one that they had here with the from Verichip? They mention it here. Verichip is alive and doing well. There are several ways government and commercial entities are looking to profit through impressive ID and global positioning systems technology. Now, what did we say when that first came out? I remember got a real good reaction from that. People wrote in, oh, the mark of the beast is here. I said, wait, it has to develop. It has to come along so it becomes natural. It has to come along so everybody accepts it. It has to come along so people will think that it is a good thing. And we all talked about what would they use it for first. Well, someone said to identify babies so they won't be abducted out of the hospitals. They're doing it. Others said, well, let's do all the cattle so that we won't have to worry about brands and changing it. They're doing it. Someone else said, well, let's put it on Alzheimer's patients so if they wander around, we can use the GPS technology and find them. They're doing it. So these are all the things that they're doing. And also, they have this. Yeah, they say they put ankle bracelets on babies, but now they're ready to inject them. This may be a good idea, but it lays the groundwork for later RFID tagging on children and elderly for safety reasons. Now, remember this. If you haven't read the book, Liberal Fascism, read it. Liberal Fascism. Because they are planning to run everything in your life. And if you think setting your thermostat automatically from the headquarters of your power company, if you think that's outrageous, well, just wait until you understand what they have in store. So here, this all comes along, and remember, it is all for your good. See, Satan loves do-gooders and benefactors to do the good so he can impose good things upon you, later to impose evil things upon you. Right, comment was made that our wonderful Deutsche governor, Herr Schwarzenegger, has just signed a bill outlawing all trans fats for restaurants and cooking establishments and food providers. For our good, you see. They have it all wrong. What you need to do is teach people what is right so they can choose to do what they need to do rather than impose upon everyone by regimentation from without. Okay, let's go on here. Some unverified internet sources report that the U.S. and European governments have plans to implant RFIDs in every newborn instead of using ankle bracelets. A Rhode Island school plans to electronically track the movement of students using RFID devices. Microchips will be attached to the students' backpacks next year. So they know that's not going to work. Because they know that if the student wants to pretend he's in one place, just leave the backpack there. So then they catch him doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they say, oh, well, this is not efficient. You know, what we need to do is have it implanted in you. And then the American Civil Liberty Union is saying that this is an invasion of privacy. Encouraging the placement of RFIDs on young children, even in this limited questionable context, can only have the unintended effect of accelerating them to being monitored by the government in other contexts and wherever they go, as if it were perfectly normal and appropriate, the ACLU said. That's what they want. That's what they want. How did they start it in schools originally? Anybody remember? Well, let's give school lunches to all of the children. Now, those who pay for them or those who can't afford it will have the county pay for. But you can't get your lunch unless you come over here and the teacher puts on your right hand a little stamp of invisible ink. And then you go to the, then you pass your hand under an infrared light and it lights up and you can have your lunch. But you don't like macaroni and cheese. All right. Listen to this one. As we said, when we had our discussion when I first gave the sermon, the RFID chip will be accessed via satellites through tiny GPS systems within the chips. The school will be able to follow the children anywhere. It is likely, though, that the young people will just choose to leave their backpacks and so forth. Then what they will do, they will go ahead and have it enforced to be worn on clothing, and if that doesn't work, inject it. Then it talks about Alzheimer's patients and so forth. The United Kingdom has concrete plans to implant RFID chips into prison populations. Oh-ho! We need to keep track of where they are. Yes, but when they let them out?
Yeah, when they let them out.
See? They're locked up. You see, the whole prison system is entirely wrong because that isn't the way God said to do it. Now, here's another one. I'll just read some headlines, not necessarily in sequence of topics. Big banks in Florida are sinking fast. So you better make sure that you have a good bank if you have money in it. But also remember this. Any bank in the modern banking system anywhere in the world can be made to go broke if there's a run on the money because they only have 8 to 12% max cash at the bank in relationship to all deposits. So they have anywhere from 95 to 88% of the money they have received loaned out. And that's what happened with IndyMac. Globalization of drug making, a prescription for disaster. A lot of the drugs are now made in China, so who knows what they're putting in them. The best thing to do is take care of your health so that you don't have to take any drugs. That's the best thing to do. And you really need to work at it. I have to work at mine. If I don't exercise, I start gaining weight. And I had about 3 months where I could hardly exercise because of the flu, and then my leg was giving me fits for a while. Now I'm back to exercising and I'm feeling better, but my burden is I've got to watch my weight. However, I did have a full health examination and everything is good. So I'm happy about that. First National Bank of Arizona just failed, the news this morning, 19 branches. Well, the IndyMac took 5% of the FDIC reserve. So we'll see what happens. So watch your money. As I mentioned, if you have more than $100,000 in one bank, you better take some of it, bring it down below $100,000, and put it in another bank. Otherwise, you're going to lose it. Because if you read the sign carefully, it used to be every account insured to $100,000. Now, you go in the bank and you read that little notice carefully, and it says every depositor is insured to $100,000. So if you have more than one account in the bank and you have more than $100,000, you can be pretty well guaranteed that it's not going to be safe. You can be pretty well guaranteed that if that bank fails, and the chances of banks failing today are becoming greater and greater as we go along. We'll talk a little bit more about the economy a little later on. So you need to be careful, because like this one man, he had his life savings in IndyMac. He had $235,000 in it. He got the first $100,000, then 50% of $135,000, so he lost $67,500. Bam. Just like that. Just like a thief holding you up and taking it from you. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like Jesus said? Let's go back here and let's read a little parable here. Let's read a little parable. See, because in the world today, I think it's Matthew 6 or Matthew 7, Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. Here's what Jesus said. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust spoil. And we can put in parentheses today where the AFIDC does not insure. And where thieves break through and steal. Now, if you lose $67,500 of your money, was it taken from you? Is that the same as stealing, though it was done legally? Of course. What is the best way to steal? Legally. But store up treasures for yourself in heaven with godly character and growing and overcoming and with God's Spirit and so forth, where neither moth nor rust spoils, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So unfortunately, that man didn't listen. He thought it was safer. All right, now let's look at some other things. We have some more things to cover here in the way of news item. All right, I found the one on the global economy. Now remember, in the last letter I wrote, I asked the question, how high will they take oil? Will they actually try and break the United States, or will they back off before? Well, since that letter is written, oil has come down nearly $20. Almost 30 now. It was up to 150 plus. Now it's down to 123. And as I mentioned, that part of it behind it was this, was that those investment banks were taking the money that they borrowed from the Federal Reserve, and we'll talk about the Federal Reserve here in just a little bit. And they invested them in long speculation on the price of oil, and that drove the price up and up and up and up and up and up and up. And so they took that money and replaced a lot of their losses. Now then, they're using some of the, they took the profits to replace their losses. Now they're turning around and they're selling on the short side so they can make money with it going down. But what is taking, what also took place at the same time, which is why the Federal Reserve did what they did. And there was a division among the Federal Reserve because they said, oh, Bernanke should not have the interest rate low. Some of the others on the Board of Governors said, well, raise the interest rate like Europe. Well, what actually was happening in addition to it, if you go back and you do a Google search on Davo, Switzerland, and all of the financial things that went on there, they had a meeting in December with all of the super rich of the world, individuals, bankers, corporations, investment houses, and everything there in Davo. After that, this assault against the dollar and the American banking system really started in earnest. And that's why they had to come in and rescue Merrill Lynch. Bear Stearns, rather, not Merrill Lynch. So in piecing that together with other things and the action of the European Central Bank, so I'll ring my cowbell here. Some have been complaining I haven't rung it lately, so I'll ring it. It appears very likely that there was an assault against the whole United States financial system to break it, based upon a lot of it with the subprime. And so this is why Bernanke lowered the interest rate and opened the lending window to the investment banks and things like this. Well, when it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and then you heard 2 weeks ago that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae were ready to go under. And if they would have taken Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae down, the whole economy could have collapsed. Absolutely collapsed. So Bernanke said, we're not going to let them go down. And it stopped. They said, we're going after the speculators who are driving everything up. We're going after the speculators who are driving everything down. Because there were speculators who were coming in and bidding the downside of stocks beyond the number of stocks issued by that company. And they were also borrowing money and doing this to drive it down before they even had title to the stocks. So it was a tremendous assault against the whole U.S. financial system. And guess who was also behind it besides these super elite rich bankers and everything? Investors, one of them, George Soros. The European Central Bank, run by the Germans, mostly Germans. And they kept their interest rate up high. And some on the Fed board in the U.S. said, we ought to raise the interest rate like Europe. Now, they raised the interest rate and kept it higher. I think it was 2% higher than the United States, in hopes that they would siphon off money out of the United States and bring it into Europe because of the higher rates, in order to bring down the economy in the United States. I mean, this was really a financial war from the highest levels. And remember, I've said in the past, Germany lost World War II, but the Nazis won. And we're seeing part of this in action today. So what Bernanke did in saying, we are not going to let Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go down, and going after these wild speculators, stopped it pretty much. That's why oil is going down. That's why things are stabilizing. And now guess what? Guess what is happening in Europe? See, Europe wanted to do this and get as much money as they could into their system so they wouldn't go broke. Now let me read you this. It means the International Monetary Fund, and let's see what it is here, yes. It feels like the summer of 1931, the world's two biggest financial institutions have had a heart attack. The world global system is breaking down, and this is by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, and this was, let's see where it is here. Title is, The Global Economy is at the Point of Maximum Danger. The global currency system is breaking down. The policy doctrines that got us into this mess are bankrupt. No world leader seems able to discern the problem, let alone forge a solution. The risk is that some central banks will commit a fresh error, this time overreacting to the oil spike. The European Central Bank raised its rates, warning of a 1970 wage price spiral. Fixated on the rearview mirror, it is not looking through the windscreen. Because you see, if oil is going up, it is not low interest rates that is creating inflation, but the higher price of oil. The Eurozone is falling into recession before the U.S. itself. Its level of credit stresses is worse. They failed to take us down. If measured by Eurobor or the ITRAX bond indexes, core inflation has fallen over the last year from 1.9 to 1.8. The U.S. may soon tip into a second leg of this crisis as the financial package runs out and Americans lose jobs in earnest. U.S. bank credit has contracted for 3 months. Real U.S. wages fell at almost 10% annualized over May and June. This is a ferocious squeeze for an economy already in the grip of the property and credit crunch. No doubt the rescue of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, $5.3 trillion pillars of Americans' mortgage market, stinks of moral hazard. The Treasury is to buy shares. The Fed has opened its window yet wider. Risks have been socialized. Any rewards go to the capitalists because they are their friends. Now, that means federal tax dollars will guarantee the losses, but the bankers make the money. The awful reality is that Washington has had its back to the wall. Fed Chief Ben Bernanke thought the U.S. could always get out of trouble by monetary stimulus, letting the dollar slide, but he has learned that the world is a more complicated place. Oil has queered the pitch, and also sending all of that money overseas to Saudi Arabia and the different ones, they were also coming speculating and driving it higher. So you see, this was really quite a thing. Fannie Mae Freddie Mac Rescue, incidentally, has just lifted the U.S. national debt from German AAA levels to Italian AA levels. China, Russia, petrol powers, and other foreign states own $985 billion of U.S. agency debt besides holding U.S. treasuries. Purchase of Fannie Mae Freddie Mac debt covered a third of the U.S. current account deficit of $700 billion over the last year. My view is that a dollar crash will be averted as it becomes clearer that the contagion has spread worldwide. So what has happened? The U.S. has acted first and has forestalled everything, has fought off the attack from overseas, and kept it all from collapsing, and now the reverse is happening. Money is coming into America because the other places are becoming more unstable, including China and India. Now continuing here. But we are now at the point of maximum danger. Britain, Japan, and the antipods are stalling. Denmark is in recession. Germany contracted in the second quarter. May industrial output fell 6% in Holland, 5.5% in Sweden. The coalitions in Belgium and Austria have just collapsed. Germany's left-wing team is fraying. One German banker told me that the doctrines of left Nazism, Otto Strasser's group, purged by Hitler, had captured the rising Die Linke party. The Social Democrats are picking up its steam to protect their flank. This is the healthy part of Europe. Further south, not far away from civic protest, there is a financial hurricane that's going to hit Spain. And so it's going to be something. Let me just read a couple of other things. A maniac property bubble was funded by foreigners in Spain by covered bonds and securities. This market has dried up. Monetary policy is now being tightened into the crunch by the ECB, European Central Bank. Hence the bankruptcy last week of this large company, Martinsa and Fatissa, 5.1 billion euros, so that's about $7.5 billion. With Franco-era labor markets, 70% of wages are inflation-linked. Adjustment will occur through closure of job markets. China, India, East Europe, and emerging Asia have all stolen growth from the future by condoning credit excesses. To varying degrees, they are now being forced to pay back their own intertemporal overdrafts. If we are lucky, America will stabilize before Asia goes down. Should our leaders mismanage affairs, almost every part of the global system will go down together. Then we are in trouble. So if they elect Obama and he goes in and he puts taxes on everybody, we are going to fall so fast. Make your head swim. Line of it, Union of South American Countries. The third summit of the South American presidents held in Caracas on December 8, 2004. That's when it started, and it is going ahead. I have another article here about it showing that there is going to be the regional union of the South American nations. Now, I've got it. You can go to Encyclopedia, Wikipedia, and you can look up Union of South American Nations. It's about a 30-page thing. Remember the one we did on the Gulf states? Well, they're also, President Sarkozy of France is also trying to set up a Mediterranean Union encompassing North Africa up to Turkey and also incorporating the Gulf states. And guess who sits as chairman for the South? Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. So now we begin to see the forming of what will become the territory for the King of the South. Now, it's not going to be incorporated into the European Economic Community. And I think that as I wrote in my letter, geographically it will be split out where the Gulf states will be the eastern part of it going on into Iran and Pakistan and Afghanistan as well. And then you will have Turkey and the Mediterranean coming on down the other way to North Africa. So that'll be interesting to see. Let me look at a couple of other ones. I'll have to bring this for another, but I'll just read you the headline. New front into God wars, brain research versus the Bible. How do we know which is the true one, the true Bible? Here's an article. Since we don't eat pork, I'll just mention it. There are deadly superbugs in your pork. Yes. Oh, but if you cook it well, it'll get rid of it. No, it does not. It actually creates a very harmful acidic toxin when you cook it well. See, the truth is, God's way alone is right. His word is true. But every time someone hears of what God says, they'll try and figure a way around it. Shouldn't eat pork. Well, they didn't have refrigerators back then. The comment was made, if you cook toxins, all you're going to get are cooked toxins. Now, here's another article posted May 25th, 2004, so it's an old one, by Chris Bennett, and that is worldnetdaily.com. And what it is, it's an article telling the account of a well down in the Gulf of Mexico that is one of these offshore wells that is right, they have a mountain that is underwater that they drilled down into, and the oil production went way, way, way down. I think from 15,000 barrels a day to 3,000 barrels a day. So they thought, well, the well is drying up. Well, guess what? It regenerated itself, and it's now producing 15,000 barrels a day because oil is constantly being made under the earth. And furthermore, the gases that come from the oil under the earth actually come on up through the ocean floor, and they release more pollutants, which God made the earth to handle it, by the way, than everything that is happening up in the Arctic. Two comments were made. Offshore in California, there is so much oil bubbling up from beneath the surface that if they don't drill it, it's going to cause a whole lot of problems. But also understand this. God made the earth and everything in it so it can take care of any oil pollution and get rid of it. And then the other comment was made that they have discovered in the Bermuda Triangle that when methane gas comes up, which it does in the ocean in many, many places, when it comes up in large amount, ships sink, planes crash. Now, my challenge to every one of the eco-freaks is this. You devise a way to stop the earth doing that, and then we'll believe you. Okay, just a couple of more headlines. Male priests marry in Anglican Church's first gay wedding. And guess who that was? The first gay who was ordained. I have in my hand some pictures of the coming of Merrill. Isn't that interesting? Then here's another article, 12 countries form new union. That's the one in South America. Watch out for this. The U.S. State Department of Global Antisemitism, run by the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, is going after everything in the New Testament. And so we will see the New Testament in time be banned. I've got a whole article on it here. ADL hate crimes laws. So if you are online, go look it up. Kids' toys are safe in a store, right? Nope. They're all New Age and witchcraft. If you don't believe it, just watch the Disney Channel. Then here's another one. U.S. government Talmud mocks the New Testament. Then I have one here that someone sent me, which is entitled Dear Spanky. That's Rod Meredith. And this is a letter that Herbert Armstrong wrote to him when he had transgressed and was exiled to Hawaii. Well, that's about all the news. Oh, one other thing here. Doctor gives warning about cell phones, possible cancer risk, and also tumors. I don't know what it is, but you can get some sort of an attachment to your cell phone that disperses some of these microwaves. Okay, another comment was made. Many of the highway patrolmen who use these radar guns are getting cancer in the chest, intestinal.
Because they sit there and then...
Another thing, too, if you have a cell phone and you have it on your hip and you wear it all day long and it being on, you better ask yourself the question, I wonder what these microwaves are doing to my liver. So you need to think about it. I don't know if you've seen the ad on television. I think I mentioned it once, which is this. There's an ad which says, help us join the cure to brain cancer because now there are 500 people a day coming down with brain cancer. They never had that before they had the cell phones. So you need to be very careful of it. One other item. One man is suing Zondervan for $60 million and Nelson Bibles for $10 million because he's a homosexual and he is emotionally upset and disturbed that the New Testament condemns homosexuals and that was not in the original but an interpretation and they're picking on me. All right, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Page 1164. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, page 1164. Now, Paul is pretty mean and nasty here, that he did this just to make people in this age get mad and upset. We see the truth is the carnal mind does not like to be told what sin is anyway. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, that should make every sinner real mad then, shouldn't it? Huh? Unrighteous. That's everybody who doesn't repent. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, well, that's heterosexualism, right? Nor idolaters. Ooh, that includes all Catholics and Buddhists, doesn't it, huh? Yes. Nor adulterers, nor abusers of themselves as women. Now, that is a particularly unique word in the Greek. And that means the homosexual who plays the female role. Then it says, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if that upsets you, don't read it. I get upset when there's pornography, and I don't watch it, and I don't read it. And furthermore, I'm offended by all these ED ads, Levitra and Viagra, supposedly on these wonderful conservative stations that give you the fair and balanced news. And yet they're against pornography, they're against pedophilia, but what do these things produce? So I'm offended at that. So in these cases, what they do when they sue because of things like this, they generally take it to a judge who is friendly to their cause or maybe even one of their own kind. And they get the ruling. Oh, by the way, speaking of rulings, the state of Louisiana sent that case back to the United States Supreme Court saying, we do not accept the basis for your judgment that based upon a growing consensus of people, which Justice Kennedy wrote when he said, we should not execute a child rapist. He said, based on a growing consensus of people, that they should not suffer the death penalty. And they send it back. Since when do you base judgments on consensus? Are you not supposed to base it upon law? But you're still not going to solve it. Number one lesson learned from everything that we have covered here. You cannot solve spiritual problems by carnal means in anything, be it finances, be it government, be it personal life, be it business, be it whatever it may be. You can't solve spiritual problems by carnal means. It will never work. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.